This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is my chance to prove myself.
And I would like to introduce Jackson.
So Hero, I guess you've heard about Heroes.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, it was good. Marvel's never there. It's too small for them, I guess. But
yeah, well, it seems like they have a select few that they go to, and that's it.
Yeah.
Because even, like, way back when I started to go into Wizard World Chicago, DC and Marvel were there. And then, like, 2 years after me going, they just, like, pulled up stakes and both of them were out.
Yeah. I guess, like, Aftershock is, and Valiant, they're at, like, everything. But I guess being a small publisher, you're trying hard to advertise, so you want to put your name out there as much as possible, where Marvel and DC don't have to do that.
Right.
But Charles Soule was there. I didn't get to talk to him, but I did talk with Matthew Rosenberg, who was there. I talked to him a little bit. I gave him a hard time for not having come on to interview yet. I wanted to get Martin to go by there and do the same thing so he could just keep getting hammered. But he was cool. He seems like a cool guy. And he said he definitely wants to come on, so we should be able to set something up sometime
soon.
That's
cool. There you go.
But we're gonna have an interview coming up with Colin Bunn, right?
Yeah, we're setting that up too.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have some Marvel talk in that, I hope.
Yeah, we'll have some Marvel talk and Colin Bunn talk, so some cool stuff coming around the corner.
So I wanted to, me and you and Martin talked about this legacy stuff online.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to get your opinion of it now that we've had some time to sort of,
marinate?
Wrap our brains around it. Because if people listening don't know, the news came out. They're like slowly leaking these details about Marvel Legacy. They're just giving you a little chunk here, there, but now we're learning that it's going to be, or at least part of it is going to be a 1 million BC Avengers story.
Right.
With, it's going to be Odin, mm-hmm. Thor's father, and it's going to be a lot of these characters that have sort of alter egos that sort of, or I guess spirits or incarnations that go beyond the current alter ego that we're familiar with. So like Iron Fist will be in it as well, but it won't be
Danny.
It won't be Danny. It'll be like maybe the first Iron Fist. I don't know.
Right.
Ghost Rider.
Uh-huh.
Who else?
The Phoenix.
Phoenix, yep. Oh, Black Panther. So I think that could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's sort of an Avengers, I don't know if it's a team or if it's just individual sort of origin stories. I guess we don't know yet, but I think this could be kind of cool, personally, if they do it right.
To me, like when I first heard about Legacy, it was like, well, this is cool. This will be the rebirth, merging of the new stuff and the old stuff. So I was kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
To make it a closely tighter knit universe, I guess. Which maybe this is, and I'm not seeing it, I guess. As to where, like, because we're going to have ramifications from Secret Empire anyways, right? I mean, it's not just going to blink and everything's fixed.
I'm already ready. I'm already past Secret Empire. We can talk about that later, I guess.
Yeah, we will. Because I know we vary on opinions on that.
Yeah, on both of these.
But, I don't know. The latest bits of announcements for Legacy has kind of, like, cooled my jets on it, really.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just going to be a team out of time. where we get hints of origin stories for each character, or we get an origin story right. book for each character type thing. So that's just, to me, it's not making it significant to the Marvel Universe. It's just adding another book with these characters that never get used.
Yeah. So, Marvel executive Tom Brevoort, I don't know if that's how you say his name, but here's what he said, because he addressed that. He said that at least the Jason Aaron story, it's not going to be, he says it isn't simply a history lesson. It's the starting gun to a bevy of mysteries and secrets and revelations that will reverberate across the Marvel Universe in the weeks and months to come. No character will be untouched by the game-changing events that play out across its pages. Jason Aaron pulled out all the stops to fat-pack this colossal issue with as much intrigue, action, mystery as possible. Now, they always say this sort of thing, though, whenever they get into a big
event.
I know,
that's what right? I was going to say. Is that like a carbon copy announcement for,
I know.
You know, Fear Itself or whatever? But...
Yeah.
Like I said, if they tie it, it depends on if they do, and I'm not talking like 100 tie-ins. I'm just saying if they tie it in nice and neatly with the ramifications of Secret Empire going forward, or, you know, whatever happens at the end of that.
Yeah.
And not just throwing it against the wall and hoping it sticks.
Yeah. I don't see, at this point, how it possibly connects to Secret Empire at all. May not. They seem like...
Well, if they're fixing thing, and it's the opening gun, right? Or whatever.
I guess. It just seems like Secret Empire is digging a hole, though.
Not. Well, Secret Empire is setting the table, basically. And this would be the dessert. Right?
I don't know. Because this sounds like they're trying to... So Legacy to me sounds like they're trying to sort of level the playing field. We're going to talk about the old stuff, the new stuff, and we're going to connect all the dots so that we have this sort of consistent timeline going forward. But Secret Empire's like has this whole Hydra thing going on, and you don't know who's good and evil. Like everything's all mixed up in Secret Empire.
Right.
So that feels
right,
like it's getting farther away from what it seems to me like Legacy.
How about this? You watch Legends of Tomorrow, right? Or you've seen it, at least?
I'm ashamed to say so, but yes, I have.
Okay. So if you read this description again, does that not kind of sound like what they do on Legends of Tomorrow?
No, I don't follow.
You don't think so?
You mean Legacy? The Legacy description?
Yeah, right.
No, because... I see Legacy as being like, it's not we're going back in history. I see it as we're just telling the history.
Well, we're starting at a million BC.
Mm-hmm.
That's not forward in history.
I know. I guess, I mean, I don't see it as like a time travel story.
Well, it's going to have to be, right? Because we can't cover a million years and a million...
But what I mean is it's not Danny Rand and T'Challa going back in time, 1000 BC.
No, yeah,
this
right,
is a
right.
history lesson. Like if you opened up the book and said, okay, what was the origin of these characters?
Okay.
I don't know.
No. And that's what I was thinking, is maybe they're going back to a million BC. To where maybe the Hydra infiltration first started or whatever, or the seeds of Hydra, right?
Gotcha.
And so they're trying to fix fixed points in time that they know about or whatever.
Maybe. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, I guess
to
I can
unravel
see that.
And get everything back to quote unquote the normal Marvel U.
Man, that's some. That's a pretty deep time point to have to go back to.
Well,
yeah,
I'm not saying that they can't pull it off. I'm just that's my perception of it, and I could be totally wrong, you know.
And on past episodes, I've speculated about Legacy, and then stuff like this comes out, and it's like, okay, I had no idea what I was talking about, so maybe we still have no idea. And yeah. Secret Empire actually has a lot of story left, so who knows where it'll even end up. Maybe we'll be talking about this in a completely different way in a couple months. But it's funny because I'm like the opposite of you right now. Like, I'm just kind of dragging with Secret Empire. I'm like, man, I'm kind of just ready to get to the end of it. And I'm excited about Legacy, whereas you're sort of the opposite. You're getting dragged with Legacy, and you're all into Secret Empire.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this is a first that I've been all into a Marvel event where I'm even gobbling up the tie-ins for it.
Yeah? Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, before, I haven't done that since Secret Invasion in the early 2000s.
Right.
And it's just, not every issue for me has to be that action-packed issue. And, like you said, like, what, 2 and 3 for you kind of just drug along, right?
Yeah. The last one was better. I enjoyed it more.
What was the difference between 3 and 4, say, for you?
Well,
what makes 4 better than the last two, I guess?
I think 4 and 0 just had more action in it, maybe, because the books are the stories are long. And if there's a lot of dialogue and stuff that may, I mean, if it doesn't feel like the story's moving, then I just get kind of bored and my mind wanders, which is what I sort of felt like with 2 and 3.
Okay. So I'm digging the whole backstory of stuff as to where you're not. You don't want, well, I shouldn't say you don't want things explained or dug into the backdrop type of stuff. You'd rather explain it and get to the point, right?
Yeah, and that's also like the mindset going into it, right? I'm not that into it to begin with, so I'm not as inclined to, you know, marinate on those details as much as probably you are.
Okay.
That's my guess, at least.
But, yeah.
So maybe I just need to slow down and pay more attention.
Well, it's just the whole concept to me is fascinating. You know, this is like, I think like Martin and you talked about, like, this is like an alternative story part, right? How we're going to come out of it, that's what has me worried the most, right? Because each issue has been either great or awesome for me. Even like the little small tie-ins that I didn't think I'd really care about has been great. Each thing, I want to, like, you'd mentioned something in the main story, and I was like, oh, well, I wonder how this works, you know? And then we get to see, like, Namor and the Atlanteans.
Yeah. Which tie-ins are you digging the most right now?
Well, I've been getting the same ones, Uprising was one, and I can't remember the one that came out last week now. United, maybe?
United, yeah, it was last week. I didn't read that. Was it? Did you like it?
Yeah, and like I said, it's just more of a background of things that aren't in the key point of view of the main title.
Right.
So, I mean, I can see me enjoying the tie-ins or even wanting to gobble up the tie-ins because I'm enjoying the whole overall story.
Yeah.
As to where you are not really digging it, so it's like, I don't want to read any more of this junk, you know?
Yeah, I was like that with Secret Wars, though. I was so into the main title that all the tie-ins sounded interesting.
Right.
Which, I was talking to Nick, and like, he loved all the tie-ins. That's what, like, I didn't like about Secret Wars. The more tie-ins I read, the more I lost interest. But I loved the main story all the way through. Did you get a chance to read Venom?
I did.
You did?
Yes. I read 150 and 151, actually.
Yeah. 151 came out yesterday, right?
Yeah. And we might have mixed reviews on this.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Legacy. The other part of Legacy is the renumbering stuff, which I'm still not, don't know what to make of, but I guess this is the, even though it's not Legacy yet, this is their first renumbering, right? So this is 150, which, by the way, I'll just mention that real quick. because they announced 11 books that are going to be renumbering. There's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy starting at 146. And I guess this makes sense now. I didn't think this way at first, but I thought the numbering would be picking up where like a legacy, like volume one left off or something. I thought that's what they were going to do, but that's not what's going on. Galaxy 146 is like the culmination of all volumes of Guardians of the Galaxy. Like there's been 145 issues across all volumes so far, including like the 10 issues that is planned for the current all new Guardians of the Galaxy that's happening right now, which is like issue 4, I think. But anyways, when it ends, it's going to end at 10, and there will have been 145 issues total. And that's
like cheating, kind of.
I don't know, is it?
What I mean, if you think about it, say Amazing Spider-Man, right? If it gets renumbered, which is not.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Is it?
Yes, that's one of them, 788. And I think it's the same way.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's crazy, because now, I mean, does Superior Spider-Man fit in there?
I think it's just the Amazing Spider-Man title. Like, the volume went up, I don't have it in front of me, but it was like 600 or 700. And right. Then outside of that, there's been about 80 issues.
It's kind of like the opposite effect of all number ones, right?
Right.
So let's make everything all number ones. And then they saw, like, the outcry for that, right? That nobody really liked it unless it was a legit number one.
Yeah.
But then, nobody likes number one, so let's go back to renumbering. But, like with the Spinning One, coming back full circle, we can start with 150, because there's been so many offshoots of Venom, we can just pile them on, and this first issue that we're going to pump out will be a 150. It'll be a milestone issue.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that's what they're trying to do, because, like, so Spider-Man is at 788. I mean, they're only 12 issues away from 800. Which right. They can make a big deal about.
Right.
Some of them aren't doing that, though. Like, Hulk is 708, so it's like, man, they just missed the big number.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess when I thought about it, though, it was like if they went back to the original volume and continued those numbers, then it's kind of weird to do that without it being the same. Like, it might be a different character at this point, or a completely right. different story. So I guess
right.
doing it this way sort of ties in
and
the
then,
whole progression up to where it is
And
now.
If you collected all those floppies, where the hell is that going to fit in?
They're all number drawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think that this is cool because it can be kind of convenient. If they continue to do this long term, then it's mm-hmm. kind of, I think it's convenient just to not have to have so many different volumes and know what comes before what. But at the end of the day, if the stories aren't good, then it's just like a gimmick, right?
Right, right.
So,
because that's why I was surprised that Venom 150 didn't have a hologram cover like in the old days, you know, red or black or purple foil cover, right?
Yeah.
But, like I said, it's here or there. You know, next year it probably won't even be a thing, and we'll just keep talking about.
Well, I hope next year
811 or whatever.
I hope next year they're not like putting out Captain America number one or something, because I mean, I think if you do this, they need to stick with it. They need to be committed to it.
Right. Exactly.
But the other ones are Captain America, which is 694, Hulk 708, Iron Man 593, Black Panther 165, Daredevil issue 594, Iron Fist 72, and then not to be outdone by all these like impressive long running titles, Gwenpool starting at a whopping 21.
Oh yeah. So before you mentioned Gwenpool there, I was going to say, oh, so basically all the heavy hitters are getting the renumbered treatment.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Spider-Gwen also. I don't think I said that. And it's only at 28. It's kind of cool that you can see it. I mean, it makes it obvious which characters are sort of the more legacy, longer running characters. I mean, yep. If you didn't know already.
Agreed.
So we'll see. But Venom is the first one, and it's at 150. So this is the first of the new renumbering. And this is written by Mike Costa, and the art is Geraldo Sandova, who I'm not familiar with. So what did you think?
Okay. You want me to be honest and blunt about it, so here goes. I loved this renumbering thing, or going back to the old numbers, whatever. Okay. I loved that Venom went back to Eddie. So it's starting to feel like Venom again.
Okay.
But
yeah, because this is in your wheelhouse, right? Is Venom it? Okay.
Yeah. So, with that being said, this book read like a 90s book. It didn't have any of the good modern things in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the dialogue was... Hearing the Venom, the symbiote, talk like that, just like... was like fingernails on a chalkboard, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I like it, but there's just certain things that I can't get past, or you know what I'm saying? It's like some of the art is okay, but it's like throwback 90s style, and then the dialogue in some spots were just like horrendous part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. The art, I mean,
Like out of five, I would say that this is probably a three for me, I would say.
That's right. I mean, I put 2.75.
Okay.
And I was thinking three, but I didn't want to go three because I don't think this is something that I want to keep reading. And three is, I don't know, I would probably keep reading a three. I don't know. I kind of felt like you, man. I didn't think it was bad, and it's kind of fun. I mean, it's kind of fun to read, but it's nothing special. It felt like just a classic, a very typical like anti-hero story, right?
Right.
Because Venom, he's not a villain, although he started as a villain, right?
Yeah. He started as a villain.
But it's just that typical sort of his alter ego. Eddie Brock wants to do good, but Venom, the alien part, is like mischievous and doing stuff that it shouldn't be doing. And they have this like internal war going. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. It felt like I've seen this, read this before like a million times.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like, okay, spoiler alert. Skip ahead if you haven't read this and you don't want to be spoiled, but he kills the priest at the end, right? The priest gets murdered?
No, he doesn't kill him.
In the last page, it seems of 150, it seems like he did. But then in 151, no. He's not dead. He's just injured.
Oh, right. My bad. I didn't remember where 150 and 151 started and stopped. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I thought he was, because I just remember that, because I thought, oh, well, he killed him. But it wasn't the case. Anyways, so to make a long story short, like, there's in other typical fashion, Alchemax is finding ways to make military weapons, and they're turning people into weapons, in this case, dinosaurs, and some of them are going rogue and being unleashed and, you know, to the world where they shouldn't be, and he has to go get them. Nothing about that sounded unique to me in any way. It's like, man, I've seen this on TV shows, I've seen this in comics. So
it seems out of character.
Does it?
For Eddie Brock and Venom too, really. I mean, maybe not, but...
Well, explain that, because that might make it more interesting to me.
Well, this just seems like a silly caper that they go on. You know what I mean? I understand like him going to them and wanting help or whatever, and then they're exploiting him.
Yeah.
And wants him to go clean up their mistake. But it could have been anything else but, oh, we have all these dinosaurs in this hole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That just seems kind of silly, caver, kitty-ish to me. And then
it's Venom Dinosaur Hunter.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
And at the end of 151, they're all kind of standing up underground, all the dinosaurs, because they're like half human.
Yeah. Well, there is a human one.
I assume they all are.
Well, there is a dinosaur hybrid one.
Yeah.
Or human dinosaur hybrid one.
Well,
but
I wonder how much of the movie. I'm trying to imagine what the movie will be like, because
hopefully none of it. Hopefully none of this.
Well, you know I know you said you didn't. I kind of like the art, at least of the actual character Venom.
It just seemed like 90s style.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the style they were going for, since, you know, they're throwing it back to 150 and getting back to the roots of the character.
I was thinking, okay, what's the CGI going to look like if they're trying to do something exactly like this? Because I think they have to, right? I mean, it's Alien.
They'll do something like this, yeah, which I don't know. I guess I can see more like T2-esque type CGI, only better.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a horror movie, though.
Oh, that's right.
Which is what he should be, yeah. Really. So, yeah, like, good point. I think it, you know.
Yeah, this is a little too silly. This comic reads, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be that sort of genre.
And speaking of that, they announced solo movies for Kraven and Mysterio, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
They did do that.
Well, the news also broke that. So this was kind of dumb. There was news breaking that Venom was not going to have anything to do with the MCU. It was going to be a total solo movie in its own thing, right? And literally, like 4 days later, there was an interview with Amy Pascal, the Sony exec, and the dude from Marvel, forgetting his name.
Figgy?
Yeah, Kevin. That said it would be part of the MCU. And they even hinted that Tom Holland, who plays Peter Parker right now in the upcoming Homecoming movie, would likely have an appearance in it. And if this has like an origin story at all, then it seems like he definitely needs to be in it, right? Because his first host was Peter Parker.
Yeah, but they are going to have to change it. They're going to have to change the origin somehow, because we're just getting bumbling Peter Parker to make him go through the black suit change too soon. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe the symbiote hops on Peter Parker, but not overtaking him, you know, just like hitches a ride.
Right.
And then when he swings by, it drops down on Eddie Brock, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But
that's what I was thinking, because like that's how the alien got its spider-like abilities from bonding with Spider-Man, right? So even if they don't play the full thing out, it seems like he has to at least have contact with Spider-Man first.
Yeah.
And then if it wasn't like the MCU Peter Parker and just some other random Peter Parker they put in there simultaneously, that would be kind of lame.
Yeah.
I don't think that would.
And so we might not even see Tom Holland make an appearance at all, but yet a CGI'd Spider-Man swinging by.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah, I think they will, because they sort of leaked it a little bit.
What,
as soon as they, in that interview, as soon as they said he could possibly be in it, I think it would be... Uh-huh. I don't think you can leak that and then not put him in there. People are going to be expecting it. Even if it's minimal.
The much cooler thing that I'm excited about in this movie is that Carnage is supposed to make an appearance too. So that means that Cassidus will make an appearance, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
Which he's a serial killer that gets part of the symbiote suit, so.
Yeah, and those two can go head-to-head, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I hope it's good. I guess it'll get an R rating, I assume. That's what they'll be going for.
Yeah.
So what I don't think is going to happen, though, is I don't expect Venom to be interacting with, like, the Avengers. I think at most it's Tom Holland, and probably that's it.
Right.
And to be honest, like, at this point, with so many characters, I think it's in their best interest to start creating these pockets and not think that, like, everything has to cross over. Like get Infinity War out of the way but with its, like, 60-character cast and then just, like, be done with that. Like, I think it's going to be really cool to see all those characters together, and I think it's going to be awesome, but, like, just for that movie. I hope they don't try to sustain that going forward.
Right. Not everything has to be connected, like connected. Yeah. I mean, we can get Easter eggs and hints and be like, they're still in the same universe.
Right. Yeah, I think at this point they definitely should do that, because it's getting too big. There's too many characters. You can't cross over everything. So, and actually, it's in the way it's getting, it's making me care less that the Defenders aren't in the movies. I'm kind of happy the way it is right now. Just let them be in their own separate pocket and do their own thing.
Yeah. Right. Now, see, and like with that, like, if we see the Iron Man suit fly over, or a shot of Avengers Tower, or something, you know, then that's cool enough for me.
But, I mean, people were making a big deal that they need to show up in Infinity War.
Right.
And I'm like, there's going to be, like, over 60 superheroes in this thing already. Like, if they showed up, is it really going to be that meaningful? The, like, half second that you see Daredevil or Luke Cage or whatever? I mean, that's going to be happening, like, every couple minutes with all these characters already. Have you, so me and Martin talked about all the comics last time.
Right.
Was there anything, did you get a chance to listen?
Yeah, I listened.
Was there anything we didn't hit on that you just like, man, I really dig this title?
No,
we
not really.
We covered, like, a lot.
Yeah, you guys covered a lot. But I would say that Hulk is probably one of the best Marvel books that it's coming out right now.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's doing something that Green Lanterns from DC can't do. And that's showing her anxiety and her powers and how it affects her emotionally in everyday life and not just being a superhero.
Right.
Because Green Lanterns for DC, I know you're not reading it, and good job, because you shouldn't.
I think I read the first Rebirth one shot of it, and that was it.
But that one's like a train wreck, and
is it?
You don't get that emotion that you're supposed to get. Like, when you, for me anyway, like when I read Hulk, and because I never really cared about Jennifer Walters, you know, or She-Hulk for that matter. But, like, when I read that one, it's like I feel her emotion or her anxiety of not wanting to go outside or not wanting to go to work because this might happen or whatever because of past events. So
is your take on her not being able to control her Hulk based on her just being
her emotionally unstable? Yeah.
And that's the fallout.
That's my
of
take
Civil
on
War.
It. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but
I think that's been the consensus from a couple of us have talked about it, and people seem to lean that way.
Yeah.
Because they don't explain it for any other reason, so that makes the most sense.
Right.
And it's cool that they've let that linger from Civil War in a meaningful way, because that's what started her down that path.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good book. Have you read All New Guardians of the Galaxy?
I have.
What do you think?
It's okay.
I'm really enjoying it.
Are you?
I am. And I didn't expect to. The only reason I read it was because it was getting... It's not a book I would normally read, but it was getting high ratings. So I felt like I owed it to myself to read it, and I'm enjoying it. I put it on my pull list.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know I've tried to stand back and not be as critical of things anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for like for the Guardians, they still seem more movie personality-esque.
This feels like the movie, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, we've talked about it like hundreds of times. Like, the serious, badass Annihilation Guardians is what, you know, I love. So
I feel like this storyline has a little bit of that. It has a little bit of that seriousness behind it, but the characters have a little bit of the comedy from the movie. I felt like he's doing a good job of balance. I don't like it as well as Abnett and Lanning's. Like, that's the top. But,
yeah, that's the cream of the crop, right?
But I'm enjoying this, the way he's writing this, where you got the underlining story with Groot's species, which is a big deal, and you got these other stories going on, which are sort of serious in nature, but there's moments when the characters are doing their, like, funny things on the side, which, to me, reads well. It's like, I read it, it's interesting.
Right. Yeah, and like you said, it's enjoyable, which is the whole reason why we read comics
I'm trying to sell you on it.
No, I agree with you that it's enjoyable, but it's not one of my favorite ones that I have to pick up and read right away.
And I'm a little biased, if you remember, in issue 3.
Yeah.
Because she's looking for the... In issue 3, she's looking for the soul gem.
Uh-huh.
Right? And in doing so, she encounters the battle with Warlock and Magus.
Right.
Which I thought was really cool. And I don't know if that's going to go anywhere, but if she finds the Soul Stone, and maybe there's some... I'm got my fingers crossed that there's some link to Warlock somehow. Because if they can pull him back into the fold, that would be awesome.
You will be all over it, sir.
But he's dead, supposedly, so.
Well, I mean, it is comic books, after all. And it is the Soul Gem, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Soul Stone, whatever. Anything else, buddy? We can't talk about Black Panther trailer because everybody will be up in arms about that, right? Like they were with Wonder Woman. But I mean, isn't it sad that this is the world we're living in now?
Yeah.
Not saying, I mean, not to get on like a soapbox or anything, but like, can't it just be a movie?
Yeah. Well, it's weird because it's like social media has given everybody a voice, and it seems like maybe because of recent political events that everybody feels comfortable like expressing their voice, no matter how racist or how offensive it is. Nobody cares anymore. So it's just like this perfect storm for ridiculous comments to be constantly made.
Okay, think about this. Passion of the Christ, right?
Yeah.
Now, just think if social media would have been as big as it is now when that came out, and you had like churches showing Passion of the Christ, like the outrage that would have brought of some of the religious people, right? Or anti-religious people, I guess, rather.
Yeah. Well, but I think back then, though, some people weren't as comfortable saying things that people seem to be comfortable saying now.
Well, yeah.
Right. Like, even if you thought something... There's things you wouldn't say that people say it now, and I'm like, that's...
Yeah, we had filters back then. Now there's no filters.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah, everybody can say what they want. They know there's... I don't know. I guess they feel like they have a big enough support group who thinks the same way that there's no repercussions, which maybe there's not.
Right. Like if you're tweeting about a certain thing with a certain writer and then somebody else tweets about, you know, a football trade.
I don't even know how that happened. I don't know how you saw that because I go now and it's not even there anymore.
Well, it's not there now, no. I don't know. Maybe when you tweeted it, they gave me a notification. I guess. I don't know.
I'm trying to give one of the Panthers players a hard time because he sounds like he's going to hold out of a training camp because of his contract, which just so he can make like $3 million more dollars on top of his $40 million contract or whatever it is.
I know. Yeah, it's ludicrous.
So I'm like, speaking man, you're set for life.
Let me go back to my not $40 million job.
Yeah, man.
So we're going to take a little break after this episode, and then the next episode, I believe, will be our Spider-Man Homecoming review, which I am super excited about. The initial reactions on Twitter from people seeing advanced screenings have been awesome. And a lot of people even saying the best Spider-Man movie ever. So look for that, I guess probably the week of July 10th we'll have that out. And as always, you can reach me on Twitter at Jack Sutherland. Ronnie is at RonBar316. And the podcast is at Ultimate Marvel Pod.
Yep. I'll holler at you later, buddy. All right.
See ya. Bye.